everyone. Welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, we will try and clean up some of the aftermath of the Corey Sutton, Bill Snyder, and K-State situation that was resolved on Friday. Spent a lot of the weekend reading reactions on opposite sides of the spectrum as far as that is concerned. I think, though, the real truth and the conclusion here lies much more in the gray area. We'll hopefully be joined by Gene Taylor at 4:30, expecting him to call in, K-State Athletics Director, to talk about all this and what life on the job has been like in his first month as K-State AD. We'll get you Can't Be Serious as well here throughout the show. As always, if you want to join us, you can call the show 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can also tweet us at the Game KMAN if you have questions or comments. You can tweet to myself, J.L. Kurtz, at Tyler Dreiling, or at Mitch the Fort as well. All right, I think today it is fair, after we've had 48 hours, 72 hours, however you want to phrase it, to digest the final decision, the finality of Corey Sutton and being released and everything that happened there and seeing reactions over the weekend. I think it's fair to get back into it here and just try and come to a conclusion and decide where things go from here. If this changes anything as far as what's going to happen with these types of things moving forward, what can we learn, I guess, is a better way to phrase this. I read Jordan Willis's statement. He came out with a statement Friday or Saturday that was defending Bill Snyder, basically just saying, hey, the program worked great for me. You got to be able to put in the work. I'm paraphrasing here, but if you do, it's going to pay dividends. I also spent a considerable amount of time, and I hate to throw something out there like this. You'll understand why, but I did think it was, at the very least, entertaining. Chris Harper's Facebook page, there was a long back and forth between a bunch of former players, and it was predominantly former players who had some grievances to air with the program. And it was the piling on mentality that we see so often when things like this happen. And it makes sense, okay? Something like this comes to light that paints the program in a negative picture. Those that had negative experiences or grievances to air, they're going to use that as their time to come forward with that. So I saw a lot of that. Frank Martin had a tweet in support of Bill Snyder, basically. So there were reactions on both sides of the aisle to everything that happened. But the easy thing to do here is take a knee-jerk reaction one way or the other and paint this very broadly black or white. I don't think that's really the smart way to go about doing this. And I feel like that was the way that I tried to approach it last week when we were talking about it. It was not snap decision, K-State's totally wrong, this is stupid, they should release him right away, or the other way, K-State should stand their ground, never do anything, Corey Sutton should absolutely not get the release. No, there was a lot of nuance to it, just as there is here. When something like this happens in the program and some people want to say, okay, well, that's totally wrong, you can't ever say anything negative about K-State or Bill Snyder, and then there are others that say, see, this proves that the program is horrible and awful and there's a ton of bad things happening here. Clearly, we can find a middle ground, I think.
We can, and the way that the whole thing ended made it, or was very preferable if you're K-State, because they got it done with by the end of the week. You look at the national scale of things, and it's kind of a 24-hour news cycle anyway, so you knew that it was going to phase out with that over the course of the weekend. More locally, the same afternoon that this happens, oddly enough, Jeremy Maclin gets released by the Chiefs, and that kind of took over the Kansas City market. I noticed that you didn't see any Kansas City sports radio shows talking about this over the weekend. It was all about what on earth are the Chiefs doing. And so now here we are on Monday. We start a new week, and hardly anyone is talking about it anymore. So from the perspective of how things ended, it was very positive for K-State. So what you're left with is trying to put together the pieces of, okay, what exactly happened here? Because it escalated so quickly over the course of 2 days, and there was fault to go around, and I think that we're left thinking that K-State ultimately did the right thing, but they didn't do so without some real questions being raised as far as Bill Snyder and where he's at and how he's handling things in his program right now.
Yeah, and that is one route to go with it. I look at it more like here was a part of the program that's basically always been there. I mean, just in talking with some former players and everything that we found out since all this happened, it was more or less a known thing in the program that if you were going to transfer And now Gene Taylor and Bill Snyder both basically said this publicly, too. If you're going to transfer, it's going to have to be some severe extenuating circumstances for you to get a release. And I just don't think that was public enough, in people's faces enough, for people to realize that that was the way that it was going. And so there have been a lot of situations very similar to Corey Sutton's. But what we had here was he made a move that winds up blowing the cover off this whole thing. And really, we get a peek at how the sausage is made. You know, you don't always want to see how the sausage is made. These kids don't always have very much power in this situation, and it can be tough and difficult for them. And we had to see this now because of the way Corey Sutton went about doing this as opposed to other guys. So you got an inside look at some of the, I don't know the right word here, some of the tougher aspects of Division I football. I mean, playing at K-State is not easy, and it's not going to be for everybody. And if you get into it and then want to get out, and you're going to have to go pay your way for a year and the coaches can leave. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that is not exactly great, I think, to sit and think about as far as how the student-athletes are treated. But again, it's within the NCAA rules. So at times, you're going to see how things like this happen. Not going to be the easiest thing to necessarily digest, but it does not then mean that the program is all bad and all terrible.
Well, it's within the NCAA rules, and it's also just a factor of the business. I mean, it is a dog-eat-dog world. It is a very difficult business to be in when winning is really the only thing that matters. And so, yeah, you are going to have to absolutely do the same things that you see happening at the big programs across the country, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, et cetera. If you want to try to get to that level or stay with them or get better than them, you've got to do absolutely everything that the NCAA will allow you to do. And so you stay within those parameters, even if sometimes it escalates and doesn't give a good look on your program. I really think that the biggest reason that it blew up as much as it did was because people were so not used to seeing Bill Snyder in any sort of a negative light. I think that the story would have been a lot less interesting national if we were seeing it from Dabo Swinney at Clemson or Nick Saban at Alabama, because people are used to them being controversial figures in the way that they do things with their program. But because Bill Snyder has only always been known for writing handwritten letters to opponents and building a program from scratch, seeing him in the face of controversy actually made the national scheme of the story bigger than maybe it actually was.
See, I would disagree. I think it made it bigger. I think nationally, anytime a situation like this comes up, it's going to be a story. If this happened at Clemson, if somebody called Dabo Swinney a slave master on Twitter, you don't think that's going to be a huge story? As big, if not bigger, a story because it's a bigger program and they're coming off a national championship. I disagree with you on that. I think this is one of those stories that, because of the bigger issue, and this is why I try to keep pointing everybody last week to, look, this is an NCAA-wide problem. And I have issues with the way the NCAA has everything set up. Everybody hates that for the most part, popular opinions on the side of the students should have more in the way of protections and leeway here, just more power, but they don't. So anytime a story like this comes up in a major college football program, those that feel that way are going to use that to make it an example for their cause. Take Jay Billis, for example, who did it on Twitter again to K-State, just like he did with Letty Romero. To us, it becomes a bigger deal because we're not used to. Not everybody was quite aware of the policy that this is a fairly normal thing and the exact ramifications of everything, what it all means. Some people probably were not aware. Like, what exactly does a release mean? The release is what? Well, okay, you have to pay your way for a year. There's just a lot that got uncovered there. And then plus, you throw on Bill Snyder and the comments that he made that seemed to turn things in the other direction. That, I think, is where it becomes a bigger deal here, because you're not used to seeing a story that's going to paint Bill Snyder in a bad light, especially from 2009 on. His first time around, I think it's easy for people to forget, but he was not a media darling at all. He has been very much so since coming back in 2009, and especially after the 2012 run, he's been painted in a much different light by the media. So I think it's just a shock to the system here to hear bad things about the program in this type of a way, and then to see Bill Snyder villainized by some of the national media. I think it's tougher on a local level for fans to palate.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that it wouldn't have been as big of a story out of Clemson or in Alabama. It probably would have been, but there's just there's a contrast there where, say, you log on to ESPN and you see a player calls Nick Saban slave master. That to me is not gonna be something that I immediately think, whoa, that's absolutely crazy. I need to click on this. When you read that as Blair calls Bill Snyder slave master, I think that it has a lot more shock appeal to it, and it's gonna get a little bit more attention from some other parts of the college football fan base than maybe it wouldn't have before.
Well, we're still disagreeing. I would click on something saying Nick Saban got called a slave master on Twitter by his former player. That's going to do it for me. That's going to induce me to click the story, especially if then there's another part that gets kicked back into the news cycle that Nick Saban admitted that he publicly failed, that this kid failed two drug tests. I'm going to click on that story regardless. And the other thing I would say to that, and you won't like this comment, a lot of people probably won't like this comment, but I feel like it is a harsh reality. Yes, it's K-State has a wonderful football program. It's a top 25 team heading into next year. But I think you're overvaluing how K-State and Bill Snyder register on a national level. That doesn't mean people don't appreciate him, think he is even the greatest college football coach of all time. But the program on a national level just doesn't hold as much cachet as I think sometimes we would like to believe. So I think that didn't make it as big of a deal nationally, the mere fact that it was Bill Snyder. I think it's more the details of the story here.
Okay.
And it's just a new thing for us to have to accept any kind of national narrative that is against Bill Snyder and against K-State, but that is what happened here. And I think that is something we can delve into as well as the show rolls along, because it does seem like two crowds here. There is a crowd that is going to go against K-State big time, even from the fan base here, that is upset with the way that this was all handled. You know, even your poll, it was what, like two-thirds said K-State should have released?
Yeah, 68%.
So you've got that crowd, certainly. But then I do think there is a portion of the fan base that will not accept any kind of flaw in the K-State program as it's constructed and in Bill Snyder. And just because the guy is the greatest thing probably that's ever happened here to K-State and arguably the greatest college football coach of all time does not mean that sometimes there are things that happen that are mistakes, and I think that's probably what we saw here for the most part. Hopefully we'll be joined by Gene Taylor coming up in our next segment. We're expecting him to call around 4:30, so we'll roll on with this discussion here when we come back.